Today is the 12th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is fantastic to be here with you around the global campfire today. Come on in and find a place. It's cozy here. We're all together, ready to take the next step forward and excited to do it. Our next step forward will lead us back into the book of 1 Samuel. And we have just met Saul, and we have seen a bit of Saul's story, and we have come to the coronation of Saul, and we found that when he was chosen to be king, he was hiding. He has become king, and we've seen him lead Israel into a battle and be victorious, freeing a city called Jabesh-Gilead, and this really solidifies his leadership. The people sort of coalesce around Saul after this. But we will see that Saul has the fear of man. He has a strong sense of inferiority, and it leads him in all kinds of erratic ways. And that will happen over the next few days. But we're here now. Saul has just become king. Let's dive in. 1 Samuel 12 and 13 today. Samuel said to all Israel, "I have done everything you requested. I have given you a king. Now look, this king walks before you. As for me, I am old and gray, and my sons are here with you. I have walked before you from the time of my youth till the present day. Here I am. Bring a charge against me before the Lord and before his chosen king. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I wronged? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I taken a bribe so that I would overlook something? Tell me, and I will return it to you." They replied, "You have not wronged us or oppressed us. You have not taken anything from the hand of anyone." He said to them, "The Lord is witness against you, and his chosen king is witness this day, that you have not found any reason to accuse me." They said, "He is witness." Samuel said to the people, "The Lord is the one who chose Moses and Aaron and who brought your ancestors up from the land of Egypt. Now take your positions so I may confront you before the Lord regarding all the Lord's just actions toward you and your ancestors. When Jacob entered Egypt, your ancestors cried out to the Lord. The Lord sent Moses and Aaron, and they led your ancestors out of Egypt and settled them in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God. So he gave them into the hand of Sisera, the general in command of Hazor's army, and into the hands of the Philistines and the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried out to the Lord and admitted, 'We have sinned, for we have forsaken the Lord and have served the Baals and the images of Ashtoreth. Now deliver us from the hands of our enemies so that we may serve you.' So the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Barak, Jephthah, and Samuel, and he delivered you from the hands of the enemies all around you, and you were able to live securely. When you saw that King Nahash of the Ammonites was advancing against you, you said to me, 'No, a king will rule over us,' even though the Lord your God is your king. Now look, here is the king you have chosen, the one that you asked for. Look, the Lord has given you a king. If you fear the Lord, serving him and obeying him and not rebelling against what he says, and if both you and the king who rules over you follow the Lord your God, all will be well. But if you don't obey the Lord and rebel against what the Lord says, the hand of the Lord will be against both you and your king. So now, take your positions and watch this great thing that the Lord is about to do in your sight. Is this not the time of the wheat harvest? I will call on the Lord so that he makes it thunder and rain. Realize and see what a great sin you have committed before the Lord by asking for a king for yourselves. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord made it thunder and rain that day. All the people were very afraid of both the Lord and Samuel. All the people said to Samuel, "Pray to the Lord your God on behalf of us, your servants, so we won't die, for we have added to all our sins by asking for a king." And Samuel said to the people, "Don't be afraid. You have indeed sinned. However, don't turn aside from the Lord. Serve the Lord with all your heart. You should not turn aside after empty things that can't profit and can't deliver, since they are empty. The Lord will not abandon his people because he wants to uphold his great reputation. The Lord was pleased to make you his own people. As far as I'm concerned, far be it from me to sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. I will instruct you in the way that is good and upright. However, fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Just look at the great things he has done for you. But if you continue to do evil, both you and your king will be swept away." Saul was 30 years old when he began to reign. He ruled over Israel for 40 years. Saul selected for himself 3,000 men from Israel. Of these, 2,000 were with Saul at Michmash and in the hill country of Bethel. The remaining 1,000 were with Jonathan at Gibeah in the territory of Benjamin. He sent all the rest of the people back home. Jonathan attacked the Philistine outpost that was at Geba, and the Philistines heard about it. Then Saul alerted all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews pay attention." All Israel heard this message. "Saul has attacked the Philistine outpost, and now Israel is repulsive to the Philistines." So the people were summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. Meanwhile, the Philistines gathered to battle with Israel. They went up against Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and an army as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth-Aven. The men of Israel realized they had a problem because their army was hard-pressed. So the army hid in caves, thickets, cliffs, strongholds, and cisterns. Some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan River to the land of Gad and Gilead, but Saul stayed at Gilgal. The entire army that was with him was terrified. He waited for 7 days, the time period indicated by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the army began to abandon Saul. So Saul said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings." Then he offered a burnt offering. Just when he had finished offering the burnt offering, Samuel appeared on the scene. Saul went out to meet him and to greet him. But Samuel said, "What have you done?" Saul replied, "When I saw that the army had started to abandon me and that you didn't come at the appointed time and that the Philistines had assembled at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor, so I felt obligated to offer the burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have made a foolish choice. You have not obeyed the commandment that the Lord your God gave you. Had you done that, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now, your kingdom will not continue. The Lord has sought out for himself a man who is loyal to him, and the Lord has appointed him to be leader over his people. For you have not obeyed what the Lord commanded you." Then Samuel set out and went up from Gilgal to Gibeah in the territory of Benjamin. Saul mustered the army that remained with him. There were about 600 men. Saul His son Jonathan and the army that remained with them stayed in Gibeah in the territory of Benjamin, while the Philistines camped in Michmash. Raiding bands went out from the camp of the Philistines in three groups. One band turned toward the road leading to Ophrah by the land of Shual. Another band turned toward the road leading to Bet-Horon, and yet another band turned toward the road leading to the border that overlooks the valley of Zeboiim in the direction of the desert. A blacksmith could not be found in all the land of Israel, for the Philistines had said, "This will prevent the Hebrews from making swords and spears." So all Israel had to go down to the Philistines in order to get their plowshares, cutting instruments, axes, and sickles sharpened. They charged 2/3 of a shekel to sharpen plowshares and cutting instruments, and 1/3 of a shekel to sharpen picks and axes and to set ox goads. So on the day of the battle, no sword or spear was to be found in the hand of anyone in the army that was with Saul and Jonathan. No one but Saul and his son Jonathan had them. A garrison of the Philistines had gone out to the pass at Michmash. John 7, 1-30. After this, Jesus traveled throughout Galilee. He stayed out of Judea because the Jewish leaders wanted to kill him. Now the Jewish Feast of Shelters was near, so Jesus' brothers advised him, "Leave here and go to Judea so your disciples may see your miracles that you are performing. For no one who seeks to make a reputation for himself does anything in secret. If you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his own brothers believed in him. So Jesus replied, "My time has not yet arrived, but you are ready at any opportunity. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I am testifying about it that its deeds are evil. You go up to the feast yourselves. I am not going up to this feast, because my time has not yet fully arrived." When he had said this, he remained in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, then Jesus himself also went up, not openly, but in secret. So the Jewish leaders were looking for him at the feast, asking, "Where is he?" There was a lot of grumbling about him among the crowds. Some were saying, "He is a good man." But others, "He deceives the common people." However, no one spoke openly about him for fear of the Jewish leaders. When the feast was half over, Jesus went up to the temple courts and began to teach. Then the Jewish leaders were astonished and said, "How does this man know so much when he has never had formal instruction?" So Jesus replied, "My teaching is not from me, but from the one who sent me. If anyone wants to do God's will, he will know about my teaching, whether it is from God or whether I speak from my own authority. The person who speaks on his own authority desires to receive honor for himself. The one who desires the honor of the one who sent him is a man of integrity, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Hasn't Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why do you want to kill me?" The crowd answered, "You're possessed by a demon. Who is trying to kill you?" Jesus replied, "I performed one miracle, and you are all amazed. However, because Moses gave you the practice of circumcision, not that it came from Moses, but from the forefathers, you circumcise a male child on the Sabbath. But if a male child is circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses is not broken, why are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to external appearance, but judge with proper judgment." Then some of the residents of Jerusalem began to say, "Isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Yet here he is, speaking publicly, and they are saying nothing to him." Do the ruling authorities really know that this man is the Christ? But we know where this man comes from. Whenever the Christ comes, no one will know where he comes from. Then Jesus, while teaching in the temple courts, cried out, "You both know me and know where I come from. And I have not come on my own initiative, but the one who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him, because I have come from him, and he sent me." So then they tried to seize Jesus, but no one laid a hand on him because his time had not yet come. Psalm 108, a song, a psalm of David. I am determined, O God. I will sing and praise you with my whole heart. Awake, O stringed instrument and harp. I will wake up at dawn. I will give you thanks before the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to you before foreigners, for your loyal love extends beyond the sky and your faithfulness reaches the clouds. Rise up above the sky, O God. May your splendor cover the whole earth. Deliver by your power and answer me so that the ones you love may be safe. God has spoken in his sanctuary. I will triumph. I will parcel out Shechem, the valley of Succoth. I will measure off. Gilead belongs to me, as does Manasseh. Ephraim is my helmet, Judah my royal scepter. Moab is my wash basin. I will make Edom serve me. I will shout in triumph over Philistia. Who will lead me into the fortified city? Who will bring me to Edom? Have you not rejected us, O God? O God, you do not go into battle with our armies. Give us help against the enemy, for any help men might offer is futile. By God's power we will conquer. He will trample down our enemies. Proverbs 15:4. Speech that heals is like a life-giving tree, but a perverse speech breaks the spirit. Okay, let's go back alongside Saul and Samuel and the children of Israel in the book of 1 Samuel. Saul is Israel's king at this point. We saw his coronation. We saw him hide from his coronation. We saw the beginning glimpses that Saul was more worried about how he looked and what people were thinking about him than anything else. Now, when that's dominant, then that's going to inform the way that we look at the world and the things that we decide. And those things are going to be colored. And in today's reading, we see that surface again, only it's a big deal in today's reading. So Israel has the king that they wanted. And Samuel has gone before the king, clearing his accounts, saying, "Look, I'm old, and speak to me now. If I've done anything wrong to anybody, speak to me now." And they all say, "You've never done anything." And so Samuel confronts the people, saying, "You wanted this king. This is not the way that it was supposed to go. But if you obey God, if you obey the Lord and his commandments, things will be fine." And so some time goes by. Saul's son, Jonathan, so the prince of Israel, stirs up some conflict with the Philistines. The Philistines bring their whole army to come and just crush Israel. Israel has mustered its army, and they are waiting for Samuel to come so that they might obey the Lord's instructions. And Samuel's not coming. and they are outnumbered. And they're waiting a week. And the people who have come to be the army begin to peel away, go home. People begin to abandon Saul. They're leaving. His army is leaving him. This looks bad, not only for the situation, but upon Saul. And so he makes a decisive leadership decision in front of his people so that they can see this. It's just that he is disobeying the command of the Lord by doing this. And he offers sacrifices to the Lord. And then Samuel shows up. So Saul is watching his people depart. He's watching what it looks like. He's feeling the inferiority of leadership here. And he's looking at the circumstances, and rather than trusting and obeying God, he takes matters into his own hands. And that is a mirror. That is our stories at different times and seasons of our lives. Where we're waiting for the Lord, where we're being obedient to the Lord, but we see the circumstances mounting against us as if they're a horde of an army down below gonna come swoop in upon us. And we take matters into our own hands for whatever reason. But so often those reasons look like what it's gonna make us look like. So Samuel shows up and says, "What have you done?" And Saul's like, "I saw everybody leaving and they were departing from me and abandoning me. And you didn't come when you said, and the Philistines are ready for battle and their whole army's there. And so I thought, we should probably ask for the Lord's help. So I thought I should just go ahead and do this." And it's just like all of the excuses that anybody does in this kind of situation. But Samuel's like, "Man, what you did, it was a really big, big leadership mistake. You knew to obey the commandments of the Lord. You knew not to do this, and you did it willingly anyway, because your eyes are on the circumstances and your eyes are on how you look and what your image is and watching the people leave. And so this is the end of it all. Had you obeyed, your kingdom would have lasted and gone on and on and on. But as it is, your kingdom will not endure. God has selected someone else who will be loyal and faithful to him." And of course, most of us know that we're talking about King David here, who will ascend to the throne after Saul. But so often we just think that happens really rather quickly. Saul is just a weak king, doesn't last that long. But as we learned, Saul reigns for 40 years. And so this doesn't just happen overnight. And the intertwining of Saul's life and David's life is coming. But we will see Saul's behavior get more and more erratic in his decision-making, in his thought processes, as the days go forward. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for another day, another step to step forward together into and through the scriptures. And we thank you for 1 Samuel and what we can learn here. We are all guilty of looking at our circumstances and looking at our image, looking at all of the things that are going on, and rather than waiting upon you and obeying you, we've taken matters into our own hands to our own peril many times. And so we get what's going on here. And as we move forward through the days ahead and watch kind of the disintegration in Saul's leadership and in his reign as king, help us to see that we're being shown a path. Saul is following a path ruled by certain things in his life And we get to see where that pathway goes. That we might treat it with caution and not walk the same way. Come, Holy Spirit, let us learn what we need to learn and see what we need to see and hear what we need to hear. Lead us into all truth, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that's home base. That is the website. That's where you can find out what's going on around here, and so certainly check it out. The Daily Audio Bible app is available as well, and that puts everything in the palm of your hand. Just search for Daily Audio Bible at the app store that works with your device. And then while you're kind of browsing around, check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there in the shop that are for us here as a community around the global campfire. Whether that be things to listen to or things to go deeper into certain topics or things to write with or write on or wear, or just check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and given freely to anyone who will listen anywhere, anytime, no matter what's going on, no matter what continent it is, and to build community around this rhythm of showing up. Just showing up, that's all we have to do. There's a safe space for us, and all we have to do is show up. If that is life-giving to you, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996. Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
The blessings of the Lord be upon every single one of you, my dear Daily Audio Bible family members. This is He Knows My Name. I called over a month ago and I cried out for prayers because I was dealing with anger issues, anger against my husband, against my daughter's biological father. And I'm really grateful for all the prayers that came in and the advice, the counsel. I probably listened to each one of them twice. And I'm so glad to say that I am no longer in that place, that angry place. Not at my husband, not at my daughter's father. My daughter's father, he has still not reached out to her. Her 11th birthday was last weekend. Not even a happy birthday message from him. She watches his status every now and then and sees that he's posting, so he's alive and well. But I'm glad that it's not affecting me, and I'm trying to be there for her as much as possible. My husband is an amazing father to her. I thank God for that. Bottom line, I'm not in that place anymore, and I thank you so much, and I thank God for getting me out of there. I wish to plead, because I know that your prayers work. And this prayer community is very powerful. I wish to bring my friend to you. Her name is Eve. Her name is Yvette, but you can call her Eve. She has had 4 miscarriages, and she has actually been pregnant to full term once and given birth, and the baby died. They have lost 2. Among these miscarriages have been twins and single pregnancies. She's in a really dark place. She's in a really bad place. She's a believer, and she prays for me every single day. I pray for her too. Please, can you join me to pray for Yvette? Please, family. Thank you.
Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, your goodness, and your kindness. Lord, so many things happen in this world, in our lives, that our little minds can't begin to fathom. Like, it's beyond us, Father, but it's not beyond you. And Lord, today I'm grateful that the call aired for From Junk to Treasure, for prayer for Junk to Treasure and her son and her family. I'm glad it aired today, or I'm grateful that it aired today so more of us could hear it. And Father, our hearts ache. But it's not beyond repair. The pain is not beyond repair. Only because we trust in you. And we know that you are a good, loving, kind, all-wise, all-knowing Father. Help, Lord. We need your help, like only you can help.
This is Laura in Colorado, and I just wanted to lift up our sweet sister, Lisa, battling cancer. God, I just come before you this morning, and I lift up Lisa, and I just thank you for her, and I thank you for her life, and for the shining example that she has been even before this community, as she has walked and trusted you, even in the hardest of times. And God, we just come around her again, and we lift her up. We ask, God, that you would be so close, that you would be a comforter in every moment. You know, every day that you have marked out and appointed for our dear friend. And God, we ask that each day that it would be just lived to the fullest. We ask that each day that your Holy Spirit would just breathe new life into her. We ask, God, that every encounter that she has would just be a divine appointment from you. And God, we just ask for wisdom as she's trying to make decisions about many things, that you would be so close to her, and that she would be continue to be this beautiful example of what it means to walk in relationship with you, God. I just ask that you would just give her even small delights in her day, that she would know she's not missing anything, and that she is just fully seen by you, and that you have granted her this path, but she is not walking it alone, and that you are fully aware.
Hi, this is Donna from California. Father God, I and we lift up your daughter from Junk to Treasure. Lord, she has already had so many trials, and this latest one, which was the first prayer request on her behalf this morning, May 6th, oh, it's just heartbreaking. It's just things like this. Oh, just the question why. But Lord, we know that with you, this wife and this little baby are with you. And we just lift up from Junk to Treasure and her son and all of their family who are grieving. We are grieving right along with them. But the depths of what they're going through, Lord, this season, oh, it's going to be a hard one. Oh, there are just no words. But we do know that you are good and that you care for the brokenhearted. Oh, Lord, I have no words. We have no words to express grief like this. Please keep Junk to Treasure's eyes fixed on you and just come along and be with her and her son at this most difficult time. We love you, Junk to Treasure, and God loves you. God loves you.
Hello, I'm Daily Audio Bible. This is Dwayne from Wisconsin. All praise and glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is May 6th, and I just heard that Junk to Treasure's daughter-in-law and her grandson, her daughter-in-law's son, passed away in a car accident. I come before you, Lord, that you be with Junk to Treasure. She's been such a blessing to us and has called in so many times to lift us up. We now ask, Lord, that you would lift her up, be with her son through this time, walk them through this valley, give them comfort during this time, give them peace, give them understanding if it is your will. Let them draw closer to you. We ask that friends and family come around them to support them, to be there and hold them up, to hold their hand, to hug them, to cry with them, to mourn. Lord, we ask for this, for peace, Lord. Peace, understanding. We always want to ask why. So give us peace. Give them peace, Lord. And let them feel your presence with them through this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And God bless.
This message is for Junk to Treasure. Darling one, I come alongside you in Shiva, as in Job 2, 12 and 13, with sympathy and comfort. I sit alongside you and I will sit with you quietly. I love you. May the Lord collect every tear in a jar and comfort you in your lament. God bless you and keep you, darling one, with love.